Our next presenter is Don Gentsch. Don is a health educator with 18 years of experience in public and community health. Her professional contributions to the Iowa Department of Public Health, the American Lung Association, the Institute for Drug Abuse Prevention, Indianapolis Riley Hospital for Children, and at the University of Iowa College of Public Health have made a lasting impact. While employed by the Iowa Department of Public Health, Don was a leader in developing a statewide program for newborn hearing screening and worked with the Early Intervention Program as well as Title V agencies in Iowa. During her tenure at the Iowa Department of Public Health, she served as the training officer, which was a joint position that fostered the relationship of the department with the University of Iowa College of Public Health. In 2005, she established the Iowa chapter of the Society for Public Health Education. Sophie, she served as the Speaker of the House for all chapters and as a member of the National Board for 2 years. In her current role as coordinator of special projects at the University of Iowa, Don focuses on improving the Midwest's public health workforce. Current projects include a special projects grant funded by the USDA Food and Nutrition Services with the Iowa Department of Public Health, as well as activities that support the Iowa and Nebraska Primary Care Association's Workforce Development Committee. She received her Master's of Public Health degree from Indiana University and her Bachelor's of Science from Iowa State University in Community Health Education. Don is the current president for the Iowa Public Health Association and is working to formalize the Public Health Alliance of Iowa. Welcome.
Thank you and good morning. I know the conference is green, but I did bring a couple copies of my presentation, so if anybody would like them, I will set them up here on the chair. So. Well, I'm very pleased to be here this morning. Thank you for those of you for joining this Wednesday morning. I am here, as you can see from the title, to talk about our nutrition assessment project that we have. I've been with our Institute for Public Health Practice for almost 10 years, and what I want to share with you today is our experience and certainly taking a model of developing a competency set that in this case is both functional and discipline specific, and how we're utilizing that competency model to help improve the training and other workforce development. And in the state of Iowa, as many states have now moved to, we do have a learning management system, and so I'll speak to that as well. This project is certainly a partnership. It's a partnership from our institute. Many people across the state, but also across the nation, have given us input and have been a part of various components. In addition, of course, the project wouldn't be possible without the Iowa Department of Public Health and the state WIC program, Brenda Dobson specifically. But this is funded in part with the federal funds from the U.S. Department of Agricultural Food and Nutrition Services. Yeah, that clicker moves really quick. I have no relationship to the close, so that we'll move on here. This project is a 3-year project, and we are just starting our third year. So our project goals and objectives, as you can see, are to develop and validate a competency model and online self-assessment tool, and we've accomplished that. And then our second major goal was to develop, implement, and evaluate an online training and documentation component, and so we are in the process of doing those things, continuously identifying external courses that address the various competencies, linking them within our learning management system, and then we're also in the midst of developing 3 online courses. Actually, 1 of the 3 is complete. As I already mentioned, this is a partnership. Again, I can't say enough, we wouldn't be as far as we are, and I think having as many successes without the definite support and involvement of many WIC coordinators in Iowa, but across the nation, and many certified professional assistants, or those individuals that are providing nutrition assessment to WIC clients. I need to stop just for a second because one of you asked me the question earlier My long bio, I'm sorry, it shouldn't be that long. I'm not a registered nurse, I'm not a registered dietitian, but I'm working with many people who are. And so my relationship to this is more of from a systems perspective and my ability and experience in developing competency models and online learning. So let's move on here. The first thing, as I said, we pulled together people and created our competency model. And this was based on what's called VENA, which is the Value Enhanced Nutrition Assessment that the USDA created. It's policy guidance. They wanted to improve and provide more consistency for those individuals who work in WIC clinics across the nation. They wanted a way to help those individuals be more consistent in that delivery of the nutrition assessment or conducting the nutrition assessment. So we looked at their definition of nutrition assessment, our project advisory committee and others involved, and recognized that that definition, which talks about it, nutrition assessment being a process of obtaining and synthesizing relevant and accurate information in order to assess an applicant's nutrition status and risk, design appropriate nutrition education and counseling, tailor the food package to address nutrition needs, and make appropriate referrals. That within that entire context, people thought that was a good definition, but yet we felt that the notion of the fact that it needed to be considered a dynamic and ongoing process was not addressed. So we talked quite a bit about that. We also wanted to make sure that there was a term agreement or understanding of additional words that are common within WIC and common within nutrition assessment. So we utilized a lot of USDA Food Nutrition Service materials and the policies that they have to come up with a glossary that's part of our project. We also spent a lot of time about talking in those early stages as to whether or not this competency model should be specific for a certain type of WIC professional working with WIC clients. Should this just be for people who are new to WIC and new in their role with working in WIC, or should it be for people across the entire spectrum, individuals that have been doing the same type of job for 20, 30 some years? So it is a competency model that we believe really does cross that span of individuals who are novice or entry level all the way up to proficiency and expert. So the process that we use to create the competency model is somewhat articulated in this graph, if you will. We convened a competency work group, as you can see, starting in December of 2007 through March of 2008, and then we brought them back again in July of 2008. We worked with them and took that information from VENA, the Value Enhanced Nutrition Assessment, and used that as our starting point. And we had a modified Delphi technique where we utilized an online survey tool, which many of you, I'm not endorsing SurveyMonkey, but that is the tool that we chose to use. In previous experiences, we'd had work groups come together, and most of the times our work groups come together via phone and do our work over the phone. That using things like an Excel table or other Word document, other tools just didn't seem to work. And so we took our initial statements and started utilizing that online survey mechanism as a way for people to evaluate statements and decide whether they liked the way it was worded and to make suggestions. And so then I along with my project assistant, we were able to synthesize that information and continue through a series of surveys to get modified versions of that feedback collectively back out to the group for subsequent review and discussion, and that was intermixed with phone calls with the group. So once the first work group had a set of the competency model and the statements created, we convened a second work group, and that work group consisted of individuals across the nation. That we, again, utilized the very same process with those individuals. They could edit, delete, add to, whatever they wanted to, but giving us feedback on what work group one had created. Once they had massaged the competency model and gotten it to a point where they felt comfortable with it, We took that model, that's, if you will, version two, back to the first work group. And they then had an opportunity to review and determine whether or not they liked or agreed in any way with that, with what work group two had done. So there was a little back and forth. So when we decided that we had a model that we were comfortable with and ready to go, we did pilot it, and we utilized our learning management system that allows us to have self-assessment tools online, and had individuals within the state of Iowa review that and complete the self-assessment. So that those aggregate results were analyzed, and we had to make very few changes as a result of the pilot. And then we made it available, and it is open to the public as of November 2008, so a year ago. All of this was informed by a project advisory committee that has individuals from the state of Iowa, but yet we are constantly going to the state WIC coordinators at those state WIC offices across the nation as well. Just wanted to acknowledge individuals. Quick slide here, but this just gives you a flavor of some of the people that have helped us out in those competency work groups. When we were working together with both of those two, competency work group one and two, as well as our advisory committee, again, there was a lot of review of the information, the education, the training, the resources available to WIC professionals as they address nutrition assessment. And so we wanted to make sure, again, that we we're making some wise decisions about the competency model. We had a lot of discussion. WIC serves pregnant women, women in postpartum, infants, and then children up to age five. So, for instance, can a competency statement be encompassing for all of those populations, or does the competency statement need to be specific for each of those population groups? And we did decide that in about 95% of this case, when we are referencing a population group for WIC, it is specific to that population group. So you'll see repetition in the statements, but just the population group will be different, if you will. As I mentioned earlier, this is a competency model or set that we believe is for both new and seasoned staff. We are encouraging in Iowa, and as we've been networking with our colleagues across the nation, or as Brenda Dobson has more than I, since she's the WIC, a state WIC person in Iowa, but we are moving forward with the notion that this would be a self-assessment that WIC staff would complete annually. Another development decision was around breastfeeding. As you know, WIC is very much involved with breastfeeding, and some of the statements do focus on breastfeeding. We had a long discussion, should that be a separate section? Should it even be part of the nutrition assessment model? And we did decide to keep it in and not separate it out into what we call a domain. Term agreement with competency model development is just so important. And again, the resources, that VINA document that we used as one of our guiding pieces to start from, had statements with multiple verbs in it and many actions, and so we pulled things out and made things simpler, if you will. And then another important thing, that the VINA document already was divided up into what they had six categories or domains of the knowledge and information, and so we decided as we moved through this process that we would keep those same domain headings. So these are the six domains: anthropometric and hematological, communication, critical thinking, multicultural awareness, nutrition assessment process, and principles of life cycle nutrition. And so in the end, we've ended up with 85 statements. Now, for any of you who have worked in competency models or reviewed what's out there, whether it's the Emergency Preparedness Bioterrorism, the Council on Linkages, and then things that are very specific, again, to various disciplines within public health or topical, the range of the number of statements that are contained in any competency model can be from as low as about 15 to about 300. And when you're introducing a competency model and working with a new group who has never had to complete a self-assessment and thinking about what are their skills, knowledge, abilities as it relates, in this case, nutrition assessment, we were really concerned that we didn't want a set of 200 or 300. So 85 seems to be a number in our feedback that people are comfortable with. this competency set or model, as many are often developed with the notion that it can be a self-assessment for an individual. And we are really trying to promote that in our state and with the other projects that we have around utilizing the self-assessments to help individuals develop their professional development plan. In Iowa, we're also moving in that direction, that this would be part of the annual review process, and then aggregately in working with agencies so that they can develop a training plan specific for their agency, or in this case, those individuals that are completing the nutrition assessment. And then certainly the state of Iowa and the WIC program are looking at the aggregate data and how to expand or change the way that they've delivered training for the WIC staff across Iowa. So certainly the whole notion of a blended training technique, because in many topical areas or professions within public health, there's still very much a need for some face-to-face, and certainly with WIC professionals, there's some things around nutrition assessment that just has to be done face-to-face. But we are using that, again, to move in the direction of more online training. And the other nice thing about our learning management system, and that is a component of this project, is that you can do peer assessments and supervisor assessments, and we're doing that with the same model. So this next slide, again, we are utilizing these self-assessments for creating what you could call that professional development cycle. And we are not utilizing the peer assessment component within our project, yet some of the WIC agencies may choose to do that on their own. We are, though, looking very closely at the supervisor assessment, and I'll talk a little bit more about that in a second. The one component that I think would be very exciting, and we've already talked about how do we move to that next step, is the whole notion of client-patient or participant feedback. So it's one thing for an individual to complete a self-assessment, have their peers and or supervisor, and have that kind of 360-degree review of your skills, knowledge, and abilities. But then how is that impacting truly the delivery of the nutrition assessment and working with clients? And so that is unfortunately not a part of our project, but certainly one that we would like to be able to expand to in the next round, if you will. So very quickly here in our first assessment results, as I already mentioned earlier, we did complete phase one in the last quarter of 2008. Our goal had been that we'd have 75 participation, but we only had 64. We are still pretty pleased with that. Those individuals are just incredibly busy, and even now, as we've just completed phase two, as you may know, with the economy and things like that, the WIC participant numbers are increasing, not decreasing. So we were rather disappointed with our phase two results. As you can see, the numbers did go down. We did have to change when we were conducting phase two. We were actually thinking we were going to be doing phase two this final quarter of 2009. And at the advisement of our advisory committee and even the Food and Nutrition Services personnel, our project officer at USDA, with the rollout of the new food package for the inclusion of fresh fruits and vegetables in their food package, we decided that we needed to do phase two earlier because it just wasn't going to work with the demands for the WIC programs or clinics. So just so you know, again, every state has different numbers as far as how many CPAs they have, but in Iowa, again, for phase one, we have about 200 people that could be part of this audience that we're targeting. Another thing that I think is important for you to realize is that not every state is set up the same as far as who are the CPAs within WIC programs. For instance, in California, all of their my understanding is that the majority of their CPAs are individuals with a high school degree who are Hispanic, have been trained very extensively to provide nutrition assessment and some of the other things. So in Iowa, we're much different. We have a much different staffing model because all of our CPAs are nurses or dietitians or nutrition educators. And so most of those individuals not only have a bachelor's level degree, but many of them also have a master's. So there's just that huge range across the nation in that definition of a CPA. So our results of that assessment, of both assessments, really showed us those gaps in the training needs And the system within the learning management system is a Likert scale. And asking them, you know, how confident or competent are you? And we did look at that information as it relates to nurses versus dietitians. And as a result, that led us to the notion that we needed more work around anthropometric and hematological, that domain. Many of those statements rose to the top. And then certainly multicultural awareness. So this just gives you that aggregate information. So every single statement within each domain is aggregated by domain. So you can see that between phase one and phase two, our results are very similar. This is a very busy slide, but we just took the top 13. We took all 85 statements and ranked them based on the average skills gap. And so this is showing you that all the lines that are in the light yellow are competency statements that come from the multicultural awareness domain. The green are the anthropometric and hematological, and the critical thinking is the blue. And then if you would continue through all 85, you would see more green and blue, if you will, or more anthropometric, hematological, and critical thinking coming up. So we utilize this plus information and lots of discussions with WIC coordinators in our state, our project advisory committee, and decided that the first course was going to be around the hematological area or domain. To be honest with you, the whole notion of addressing multicultural awareness as our first course was a little daunting, so we felt we could address this one a little bit easier to begin with. We did a thorough review of what's out there, what's in the environment. Is there anything for WIC specifically, or is there something from other nutrition healthcare sectors that we're missing that maybe a hospital has created, and we didn't find anything. So our course is title is not very exciting, but Hematological Data Collection, Assessment, and Critical Thinking Application. So these are the individuals that helped us primarily, but there were many others that we actually brought in as well. So during April through July of 2009, we developed the course. We piloted it this past August, and it's now been released. It is in the public domain. We do offer both nursing and dietetic credits recognized by the state of Iowa, but my understanding is that for dietitians that it is actually something that is available for continuing education credits across the nation. Nursing, it's a little more challenging. So the one thing I don't have to show you, but I'm happy to show you at a later time or if you want to touch base with me, is just the tremendous interactivity of our courses. The course takes around 2 hours to complete, but you can stop and start and come back whenever you want. There's three modules within the course. There's pre and post tests, lots of things for the learner to apply what they are learning and viewing, listening to. So really trying to utilize very good adult learning theory and techniques for that course. So our second course, which we are in the midst of developing right now, is going to be on food and culture and cultural competence. The exact title is not determined yet, but because of the new food package that I referenced earlier, this course is really going to be merging those statements around cultural competence with the food package and food preferences and choices that WIC participants make. And so we are have been developing it, and will continue through January, plan to pilot in February with a release in March. As I've been mentioning, all of this is within our free system. That's 24 access. We have about 60,000 users that have come to our learning management system, whether it's for self-assessments with different competency models or for different courses that we've developed or linked within the system. So we continue to have that philosophy of wanting to make sure that there's self-paced study, that people, if they choose to take an assessment, then they get recommended courses that link to their competencies, and if there are gaps or needs in relation to how they've self-assessed. And then the same thing happens if they happen to have a peer or supervisor complete that. That data continues to be aggregated and available for people to look at. And many of our courses are moving into that direction of having continuing education course credits. Most of our courses are free or very low cost. We do feel that this training system online, the benefit, does creep a transcript of every time you've taken a self-assessment, every course you've enrolled in, every course you've completed. You can print out certificates of completion or have them electronically. Of course, certainly online courses can be very convenient, and with the economy the way it is and training budgets often being cut, this hopefully is going to be a tool for many people, not only specific to this project, but some of the other things that we've created over the last 10 years as well. Again, the state WIC office in Iowa really hopes that this will complement their other training initiatives and perhaps be a replacement for some things to decrease the face-to-face or eliminate some of the travel time. Another nice feature is, again, that the system keeps track of your assessment. So if we have more people completing things on an annual basis, they can see that annual progression and change. As I've already mentioned, it's supervisor and peer evaluations are part of it. Utilizing and monitoring that aggregate data will help us determine some training needs for future course development. The third course, very quickly, is going to also develop beyond multicultural awareness, most likely more in the area of communications. And I'd be remiss if I didn't, again, acknowledge at least our core team, Brenda Dobson, again, at the State WIC program, Maria Scott, who is our project assistant, and then my colleague at the Institute for Public Health Practice, Tanya Udenholman. So I think I've gone over my time, but I entertain any questions if we have time now or at a later point.